Hey, hello everyone. Welcome back to this week's show. Hope everyone is doing well. My apologies for last week. Last week I had a very bad cold, had no voice. I'm still getting over it this week, actually. So if I have to step back for a minute and do that nasty coughing thing, I'll mute myself and I'll do so. So I just ask for your understanding on that. Anyway, it's glad to be back. Thank you for our partners, the Four Persons Network, for allowing me to do this show. You know, check out their great stuff over there at Four Persons. They have great content all the time. There's the Saint of the Day, the Divine Mercy Chapel that happens every day. Ken Litchfield is absolutely killing it on his apologetic show every Friday morning. So check that out. We got a lot of great stuff coming up, guys. John Banco, the founder, he's going to be doing a debate pretty soon. Man, some great stuff. And Terry Delp, welcome back, my brother. God bless you. All right. Today's topic is a very fascinating one. It's very interesting, at least to me, because I'm a theology nerd. I'm a Bible nerd. Who wrote Hebrews? Because to this day, we still don't know who wrote it. Now, some people listening to this may say, you know what? My Bible says that St. Paul wrote it. And it's true. There are some Bibles, like the NAB, for example, in their notes, in the overview, says that St. Paul did write it. And they'll point to the imprimatur that's in the Bible. That just shows that the Bible is free from doctrinal error. Those notes, and not only that, but the authorship is... Who wrote it isn't as important as what the message in Hebrews is. But that book, the book of Hebrews, is one that has perplexed Christians for generations. It's unlike anything seen in the rest of the New Testament because it uses typology and symbolism to communicate the truth of Christ. The letter to the Hebrews is one of the most bracing and challenging writings in the New Testament. And people find it difficult because it uses ideas that are strange to us. So that's what we're going to talk about. Who wrote this beautiful piece of scripture? Now, if we're going to get a bunch of biblical scholars together, there's going to be a lot of different opinions on this. Now, is the issue of authorship vital to it being in scripture? No. But it could maybe help us give, it could help us maybe get some insight to what the author is trying to say. And there are many names presented as the author. So St. Paul, I've already mentioned, Barnabas, Clement, Apollos, Luke, Priscilla, Jude, Philip, and Silvanus. My friends, I'm going to look at internal evidence within the book of Hebrews and testimony from the church fathers to conclude, and this is my opinion, that Apollos is the most likely candidate for authorship. So if we're going to research this topic of who the author of Hebrews is, we need to look at the tradition of the Eastern and Western churches. Now, this practice yields two interesting results that could not be more different. And also looking at the patristic evidence is important to understand why it was placed in the canon. Now, in the expanses of the West, Hebrews was quoted as early as the writing of First Clement around the end of the first century. And some sources say it was written around in the 70s, even. Traces of the epistle were seen in the works of Gaius, Tertullian, St. Irenaeus, and much more by Hippolytus in his commentary on Daniel. However, none saw evidence of Pauline authorship. And because of that, it wasn't considered canonical because it was not apostolic in nature. Now, eventually, Pauline authorship became popular, even though it was never fully accepted. And this was in the West around the 4th century when St. Paul was attributed as being the author in editions of the Latin Vulgate. And that's kind of what carries down to us today in the Catholic Church. Now, this was also the case in other early English translations like the Douay Rheims and the King James. Now, though Pauline authorship was a matter of contention in the West, it was not the case in the East. Very early, the Eastern churches show a very strong tradition for Pauline authorship. According to the great early church historian Eusebius, St. Clement of Alexandria followed the view of another church father named Pantenus. Clement held the view that Paul wrote Hebrews in Hebrew for Hebrews, and that it was translated into Greek by St. Luke. Now, Pantenus did recognize the difficulty in this belief. He argued very early on that Paul did not introduce himself in the same way as the rest of his letters. His explanation was simple, but it carried a lot of weight. This is what he says. Paul had not affixed his name because he was only the apostle to the Gentiles. Clement of Alexandria, Pantenus' successor, added further clarification of this thought. He believed that Paul wrote the epistle anonymously so he would not offend the Jews in the audience. So it's kind of interesting. At any rate, though, the West began to join the East in affirming Pauline authorship in the 4th century. And the view in the West was assisted by theological heavyweights like St. Jerome and St. Augustine, who greatly respected the prestigious opinion of the Eastern churches. Now, and I need to say this, though, that Jerome did carry reservations about Pauline authorship, but didn't see fit to attempt to deny its place in the canon. And his reason was very simple and straightforward. The letter was read daily inside the churches. Now, to better understand the authorship of Hebrews, a look at the first theories, they need to be looked at. So the earliest theories, like I mentioned a moment ago, were that St. Paul was the most likely author. Now, it's wise to go through the reasons why this was the case, because later on, it's going to assist us in laying the foundation as to why Pauline authorship is not probable. Now, this process may seem antithetical, but when we look at the other Pauline letters, we can see some similarity, but many differences in writing style and tone. Now, like I said a few moments ago, the earliest traditions in the East named St. Paul as the author. This theory just didn't come from anywhere in the East, but from the catechetical school in Alexandria. The great early church father, St. John Chrysostom, clearly names Paul as the author. He writes this in his first homily on the Epistle to the Hebrews. He writes, quote, "Why did he, Paul, not oppose himself to the prophets? Certainly he was much greater than they, inasmuch as a greater trust was committed to him. Yet he doeth not so," end quote. Now, Origen, at least at a minimum, affirmed Pauline dictation, but was unsure of who wrote everything down. Now, also, the West was slower to affirm this theory, but at the Council of Carthage, the 14 Pauline epistles were accepted as canon in the New Testament, with Hebrews being the 14th. And this would be the prominent view, with some holdouts, until the 16th century. Now, there are similarities between Hebrews and other letters that Paul wrote, which helped with the case for his authorship. Now, this is perhaps led to the earliest codices around 200 of saying that there were 14 Pauline books. Now, to illustrate this point, I want to look and compare two passages of Scripture. The first is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, which states, quote, "But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he created all ages," end quote. Now let's compare that to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, which says, quote, "For in him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or authorities, all things were created through him and for him," end quote. Both verses are similar in tone and emphasize the work of Christ in creation. Now, This could assist us in concluding that either Paul, or at least someone closely associated with him, was the author. Now, other similarities between Hebrews and the other Pauline writings exist. So, such as the place in the New Covenant, for example, which is described in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, and 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 through 11. Now, the bad example of Israel during the wandering in the wilderness in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 through 11, 4, 6 through 11, and 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 11. Those are some other examples. And here's another one. The work of the Holy Spirit and the distribution of the gifts in the church in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4, and 1 Corinthians 12, 11. And another similarity is that of Christ's incarnation and death, as mentioned in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, and Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. So there's a lot of similarities there. But how about the evidence against it? That's what I want to go into now. Early church tradition, and a look at biblical evidence, presents a reasonable case for Pauline authorship. We've gone over some of those. However, these are surface-level factors, because evidence can be derived from the text to show that Paul did not write the letter. Now, though debate over authorship rages on, the evidence that I'm hoping to provide will show that the author must have been someone other than St. Paul, but most likely was an associate or someone who knew him well. Now, the first piece of evidence I want to look at is the salutation in Hebrews. The letters that were written by Paul all had a salutation, but Hebrews does not. The author of Hebrews starts by writing, quote, "In many and various ways, God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets." From the onset of the letter, there's this aura of anonymity. So the author nowhere identifies himself in the book, yet the author seems to know the readers very well. And so one theory to get around this issue is that the name was omitted because it was in the form of a sermon. That's plausible, but it's unlikely that Paul would not use his authority as an apostle to steer his readers away from apostasy, because Paul does exactly that in his letter to the Galatians. And so the appeal to authority in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 is problematic, as it is not one normally given by an apostle. Now, for clarification, this is what the verse says. "It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard him." End quote. This passage shows that the writer was not a follower of Christ during his earthly ministry, and indicated that the message received was one delivered by the apostles. So, sacred tradition, people. Paul most likely would have referred to apostolic traditions, which points to the writer knowing about Christ because of the ministry of the apostles. Now, another point of contention is the style used in Hebrews. Paul used a more relaxed style of Greek in his letters, and Hebrews is more of a classical style. And this is what Bible scholar Robert Utley says, quote, "The style is so different from Paul's other writings. The vocabulary is different, and there are subtle differences in word and phrase usage and emphasis." Unquote. Now, this is not to say that Paul is not capable of using elevated Greek. Many parts of his letters, such as 1 Corinthians chapter 13, display that. It is unlikely that Paul would write 13 letters in a very simple Greek dialect and use a higher literary style in the letter to the Hebrews. There would be some consistency there. Now, the epistle to the Hebrews puts a great emphasis on Jesus as high priest. Now, this particular language is absent from the rest of his writings. The author also uses the Septuagint, but with a key difference. The author of Hebrews quotes it differently than Paul did. And Paul did not always quote from the Septuagint, because he was trained as a Pharisee, after all. Now, over the past several minutes, we've discussed the case for and against St. Paul writing Hebrews. And don't get me wrong, he would be a great candidate. And the evidence points towards someone associated with him. But there were other figures in history who were seen as probable authors. I want to go through some of those. Now, St. Luke and St. Clement of Rome were two men who accompanied Paul in his journeys. And Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke and Acts, while Clement is mentioned in Philippians chapter 4, verse 2, as a fellow worker. Now, the thought that one of them authored this letter is ancient in origin. Now, though it's ancient, there's a couple problems with this theory. When compared with other writings of Luke, there is very little in common with the content of Hebrews. Now, St. Clement of Rome must also be removed as a viable candidate because of evidence found in his letter to the Corinthians. In that letter, he quotes Hebrews several times. Now, there is a possibility that he's quoting his own writing, but he's quoting in such a way to negate part of what is said. Like, he speaks of the ministry of the church in such a way that parts are opposite of what is said in Hebrews. So it's kind of interesting there. Now, these two historic figures have early writings that we can compare to Hebrews to see if it's a possible match. Another possible author, with Barnabas, does not, since the epistle attributed to him is also anonymous. Another possible author is Priscilla. Now, but that theory only came into fruition in the 19th century by the liberal theologian Adolf Harnack. Now, there is little to no evidence to support this theory, and she is ruled out because the author referring to himself with a masculine pronoun in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. Now, there are many more names that were put forward, but one of these stands out, the name Apollos. And in my opinion, there's evidence to support that he is the author. So let's discuss that. Apollos was a companion and associated with St. Paul in some way. St. Paul mentions him in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. And this is what he writes. What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to teach his task. We further read in Acts chapter 18, verse 24 about Apollos. This is what it says, quote, "Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures." Now, the two scriptures that I just quoted provide many key points about authorship. The author of Hebrews had a very strong Hellenistic background with training in rhetoric. Apollos was a Jew. And these two distinctions have left many biblical scholars to also conclude that the author is Apollos. In Acts 18:24, Luke says that Apollos is a native of Alexandria, which was traditionally the Greek center for rhetorical training. It was also the location of a famed catechetical school in the early church. Now, though the school may not have been around at that time, that does not mean that a strong scriptural catechesis could not have been present. In Acts 18, we see Apollos described as someone who is steeped in the word and a great expositor. And so the author of Hebrews does the same. The writer draws on great details from the Old Testament to share with his readers. Apollos' skill in demonstrating Christ's messiahship from the Old Testament is in accord with the Christological exposition that we see in Hebrews. And another element to consider is the ability that Apollos has to confound the Jews who did not acknowledge Christ. This ability fits well with the background of the recipients of the letter. Now, the mystery of who wrote Hebrews is one that's never going to be solved. Okay, many important names in church history have been proposed as the author. Okay, I went through some of the evidence for, some of the evidence against, and from that deduced that St. Paul was not the author. But the author is associated with Paul. So we looked at Luke and St. Clement. Their styles don't match. Apollos was associated with Paul at the church in Corinth. He was trained in rhetoric. He was a great scripture scholar. His style of writing is more classical in style because of the training in rhetoric and matches that of the author of Hebrews. It is because of these reasons that I think that Apollos is the most probable author. Now, friends, I know I do a lot of apologetics on this show and everything. And this doesn't really fall in the category. This is more biblical studies, and I love the Bible. Okay? The Bible is my passion. Does the author of Hebrews take away from what Hebrews is saying? Absolutely not. Whether it's St. Paul, Apollos, or someone else, we'll find out later on. In fact, if I get to heaven, that's the first thing I am going to ask someone, who wrote Hebrews? Because I want to meet that person. And if it's not Apollos and I will have a good laugh. That's fine. But it's just sometimes fun to dive into these mysteries that we're not 100% sure on. So this is speculation on my part. And feel free to disagree with me. That's totally fine. All right, guys. So thanks for listening to my rant of why I think Apollos is the author of Hebrews. Okay, like I said, you disagree? Totally fine. This has nothing to do with, this has not changed church teaching on the topic or anything else or what the book means. But it's interesting to contemplate. All right, guys. So we're going to catch you next week. I'm going to have an interview next week. I'll post more about that on social media this coming week. Please follow my YouTube channel. Follow the Four Persons Network. Hey, while you're at it, follow the Bible Catholic Network over on Facebook as well, because we have another new show coming up. I'm going to spread some news on that in a few days. Guys, God bless you, and thanks for all your support. I'm praying for you. Please pray for me. God bless.